This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone. This summer, Utah's largest school district removed over 50 books from school libraries. Pan America reports that over 20 of the freshly illicit titles feature LGBT characters or themes.
The titles that were reviewed were found by this committee to contain sensitive material, and they do not have literary merit.
The allegedly meritless books include Jodi Picoult's number one New York Times bestseller, 19 Minutes, about a school shooting, a Judy Blume title, and a memoir called Genderqueer. The removal of the books is temporary until the school board formalizes its policy for book removals. It was made possible by a bill that passed earlier this year in Utah, part of a new wave of legislation limiting school curricula.
In Virginia schools, they are now required to alert parents if any books assigned for the curriculum have sexually explicit content. They're required to have law enforcement liaisons for those schools.
In Florida, the parental rights in education law, the one that critics call Don't Say Gay, bans instruction on sexual orientation and gender identity in classrooms. Another education law is the Stop Woke Act. This one restricts how race-related topics are taught in school and also workplace training.
In October, Republican state legislator Matt Krause requested every school district in the state scour their libraries for a list of 850 books.
The American Library Association reports that last year saw more than 1,500 book removals and challenges, a new record. And there's a reason the ALA didn't use the word ban. The association prefers the term book challenge to more accurately reference these cases, which vary in scope. For example, a book removed from a class's required reading might still be available in the school's library, or a book allowed in one district might be absent from a neighboring one, or even from that neighborhood's public library. In fact, over 40% of these challenges occurred in public libraries in 2020. Earlier this year, I spoke to Kelly Jensen, a Chicago-based editor at Book Riot, who writes a weekly update on book censorship news in the U.S. She says this nascent battle over books in schools straddles the nation.
The reality is it's happening everywhere. It's happening in the Chicago suburbs. It's happening in New York State. Outside of Seattle, Tacoma, in one of the suburbs, a middle school librarian was trying to add more LGBTQ positive books into the collection, doing what a librarian does, researching these titles, making sure they have great reviews and that they would be appropriate for their community. The principal bypassed all of their policies and procedures, just quietly pulling these titles from shelves. People in that area were shocked it was happening in their backyard.
Let me unpack a couple of things here. First, what was going on in the principal's mind? Was it simply to avoid a really noisy school board meeting in the future?
There's been a number of groups in that suburban area that are working toward challenging materials, toward oversight in curriculum. And so my read was that the principal was trying to make sure that nothing like that would happen.
And parents who wouldn't object to the books, who might actually welcome the books, they don't know that that's going on.
And it's not just parents who don't know, it's the students don't know, mm-hmm. The teachers don't know. It takes somebody who is willing to blow the whistle, like this particular librarian was, to get this quiet or soft censorship even noticed.
Moms for Liberty. You've mm-hmm. drawn attention to this nonprofit group. You say it has 165 chapters in 33 states. Mm-hmm. You also say they operate county by county rather than city or state. meaning that the action can be very quick and targeted.
Moms for Liberty created a campaign that they are calling Moms for Libraries. They have collaborated with a publisher called Brave Books, and Brave Books publishes titles that are conservative, that are quote unquote liberty focused, and that have a religious theme. They're doing two things. They're pulling books out of the library, which is giving them negative press. But if they create a campaign called Moms for Libraries and donate books back to libraries, that certainly gives them a different look in the public eye. But when you start to dig in a little bit, you realize that this particular publisher they're working with is propaganda. So they're pushing their agenda in two directions.
Of course, the word agenda gets tossed around a lot. The people who would challenge books say that it's the gay agenda or the trans agenda or the liberal agenda or the critical race theory agenda that is going to twist the tender minds of our youths. So let's talk about what books are most prone to censorship.
One of the big ones is Genderqueer by Maya Kobabi. And it's a book about a genderqueer person coming to understand their gender identity. One of the tactics being used by these groups and individuals is looking into state policies around topics like obscenity and pornography, and using that state law or statute as a proof of why these books shouldn't be in schools or libraries.
So these books, do they have to meet the standard of having no redeeming social importance, or is it just a threat? Do they actually prevail on legal grounds?
In some states, they're trying to create the legislation that would make them be removed, where in other places, who is on the board of the school or library has the power to make that decision rather than any actual prevailing legislation.
Obviously, books that address gender identity have come under the withering light of Moms for Liberty. Books like All Boys Aren't Blue, Genderqueer, and the ever popular Heather Has Two Mommies. Also books written by Black authors and featuring Black characters, from The Bluest Eye, a standalone story by Toni Morrison, To Kill a Mockingbird by the most emphatically not Black, Harper Lee.
I also want to add to this list Dear Martin by Nick Stone, that's currently coming under fire. And I bring that one up in context of To Kill a Mockingbird, because there was just a challenge, I want to say Missouri, where students were reading Dear Martin in class. There was a complaint, and the book was replaced with To Kill a Mockingbird, which is heartbreaking because Dear Martin is a contemporary story of a Black boy and his experiences with racism, whereas To Kill a Mockingbird is by a white author about racism, but in a capacity that has merit.
In a 1950s capacity, perhaps?
There you go.
Where there were many fewer people getting to speak about their own experience directly and being paid attention to? Is that what you mean?
Books like To Kill a Mockingbird are being reevaluated for whether they are the best book to address racism in the classroom. They're still available. They're still widely read. They're still recommended. But the move has been to include more books by Black authors who can share from a perspective that To Kill a Mockingbird simply can't. Schools updating their curriculum have also been used as a conservative talking point of, well, they're removing books from the classroom too. This is a willful misrepresentation of what's actually happening, and it gets that base riled up.
Could you take me through the process of challenging a book? And how long does it take for a book to be pulled from the shelf or not?
So it's going to vary. Typically, what happens is a parent or community person will file a complaint. Most libraries have a form. What book are you complaining about? Why are you complaining about it? And did you read the material in full? Typically, the process is there's a committee that will meet and discuss the book. They will have all read it. They will read the professional reviews, and then they'll determine whether or not it's appropriate for their community. Now, though, we're seeing more state governments stepping in, demanding schools and libraries look for these particular books in their collection. So in Texas, it's a list of 850 books seemingly slapped together from some quick research. So there's this tension now that whatever the school's policy is might not be enough to protect their expertise in doing their jobs. Instead, it's being handed over to the state.
My understanding is in some places, the policies public library systems use are vague enough to give room for an interpretation. So they can just pull things without a formal complaint because there wasn't one outlined.
The Wake County Public Library System in North Carolina pulled Genderqueer from their shelves. I looked and looked for their collection development policy. It was very vague. It didn't have a chain of command, a set of steps that happen when there's been a book complaint. There had been a series of emails about the book, and ultimately their collection development manager decided to just pull it. This is Wake County. This is the largest library system in North Carolina. So library workers within that system complained. The library board wondered what happened. At the end of the day, not only was the book put back on shelves, but the collection development policy and procedures for a book challenge were updated and made much more accessible.
How often do you think this happens where no one really knows?
It requires somebody speaking out. I had read about it in one of the North Carolina newspapers, Genderqueer being pulled. I put in a FOIA asking for emails and found my answer right in there. It was like an external group. Some of the motivation could be that the Wake County public school system had received a number of complaints from parents. And a couple of those parents filed police reports about this book. Well, that ties back into obscenity and pornography laws. You can see the line between the two thoughts. Maybe Wake County Public Libraries was trying to ward off a potential challenge in pulling the book.
Is the concern that public libraries will be tailored to middle schoolers?
Some of these challenges in public libraries in particular don't necessarily want the books pulled completely, but want them very difficult for young people to access. In Jonesboro, Craighead County, Arkansas, what they have been doing is moving these books from the children's collection to a shelf that is now next to the children's librarian desk. So a 10-year-old who wants to read this book, let's say that the book is It's Perfectly Normal. That's another one that's gotten challenges this year. It's a puberty book with illustrations appropriate for 8-year-olds and up. Say a 10-year-old wants to look at that book. They now have to walk up to the librarian desk to browse these shelves. Well, that kid has now made it clear that they're looking at materials that people in the community think aren't appropriate. It's such a huge deterrent.
These school board meetings, are the people objecting to the books mostly white? I mean, given the way critical race theory is often tied up in education censorship, what's the role of race in these disputes?
Oh, it's absolutely primarily white. Out here, I believe it was Downers Grove High School. This particular meeting also brought in the Proud Boys, who are, you know, white supremacists. And so there's this pride that I am seeing in many of these school board meetings. It's white pride, and it's very clear this isn't about the kids.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Kelly Jensen is an editor at Book Riot. This conversation first aired in February. Coming up, it's all framed as a parents' rights issue, but it's not always about the children. This is On the Media.